As John the Baptist foretold, the fire of the Holy Spirit did fall upon the church at the day of Pentecost, and the baptism of the Lord Jesus replaced the baptism of John. When we are born again by water and the Holy Spirit at our baptism, the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love are poured into us, and these make it possible for us to live the life of the new creation in which we grow in holiness by cooperating with God's grace. As this new life of grace takes root and grows in us over the years, the fruits of the Holy Spirit begin to emerge, and our way of life bears witness to the power of divine love. In his letter to the Galatians, St. Paul names 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit, which are the result of authentic friendship with the Lord Jesus through word and sacrament. And these 12 are love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, generosity, gentleness, and faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity. When a man or woman is living a completely Christ-centered life and cooperating with God's grace by means of the supernatural virtues of faith, hope, and love, then these 12 fruits of the Spirit are the result. They are, if you will, like down payments on the glory to be revealed in the saints on the last day. And on this third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday, one of these 12 fruits is highlighted for us by the sacred liturgy, joy. In one form or another, joy is mentioned 16 times in the liturgical and scriptural texts at this Mass. And joy is at the heart of the second lesson, as St. Paul writes to the church at Philippi, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice." Now, the joy of which the apostle writes is not merely an emotion. In fact, given the realities of human life, if Paul were writing about an emotion, then the command to rejoice always would be fatuous nonsense. But authentic Christian joy is not the result of happiness or pleasure as we experience those natural blessings. And the joy which is a fruit of the Holy Spirit can and does coexist with suffering, pain, sadness, and grief. One of the reasons so many people came to saving faith in Christ Jesus during the early centuries of Christian persecution was that the martyrs often went to their violent deaths still radiant with joy. This kind of joy is a stable disposition of heart and mind. It is a way of viewing the world and my place in it, and it comes only from the sure and certain knowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the wisdom and the power of God, and that in his resurrection, our ancient enemies of sin and death are already vanquished, and we are made heirs of eternal glory by the grace of adoption given to us in holy baptism. But to have such joy in one's life requires not simply that we be baptized, but that we live every day by grace through faith in the divine Redeemer, meaning that Christianity cannot be a hobby that we take up when it suits us, or a comfort in which we seek refuge when we need it. To live a Christ-centered life requires that Christ be at the center of everything, everything we are and have and do. Mass every Sunday and Holy Day, prayer every day, intimate knowledge of Holy Scripture, confession whenever needed, regular service of those in need, and a willingness to forsake everything in our lives that is contrary to the gospel, this is the path to authentic Christian joy. But knowing what the path to joy is also means that we know what it is not. Mass every now and again is not a path to Christian joy, still less Mass only at Christmas and Easter. Confession every second or third year is not a path to Christian joy, still less never going. Reading Holy Scripture only in the 5 minutes before Mass is not a path to Christian joy, still less letting dust settle on my Bible at home. Serving those in need only by dropping a check in the collection plate or poor box is not a path to Christian joy, still less averting my eyes when I encounter someone lonely or bereft. Negotiating a truce with my own favorite sins is not a path to Christian joy, still less refusing to say that my sins even are sins. No, to live with joy as a fruit of the Holy Spirit requires that we heed all of St. Paul's instruction to the Philippians, and this way of life allows us to rejoice even when we or those we love are in the midst of suffering, pain, sadness, or grief. And so let us attend again to the words of St. Paul. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Your kindness should be known to all. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.